As I mentioned before, I'm a professor and program lead of Master of Science in Health Informatics with National University. I've been working in the health informatics for over 30 years, so I'm dating myself. In terms of the aspects, the university and so some of the part of aspects of this research really has come from growth from a number of students. Our students are primarily adults who are going back to school mid-career, and so providing really accessible learning. So I teach online, and so some of the best ideas come from students as well, and shared in some of this presentation. So, topic. What apps are in your pocket? I think that the value is really the core of what I'm going to speak about today, because it's not technology in search of a market, but where really is value being realized. So really three quick objectives. You know, one is to share an approach, kind of a methodology, because I think some of this key questions are identifying these apps. I think you've got the apps over here and the opportunities over here, and they need to come together. So certainly, as you learn about the various applications, I think in the discussion that we can have after this session is really thinking about the opportunities and what we can do with the apps that are out there. So just a quick question for you all. Raise of hands, about how many apps do you, does anyone have any idea? Anyone want to guess?
Thousands.
Hundreds? Thousands?
3,201.
3,201, if you do a search on, there's actually a number if you go to, for example, the App Store and search by category for health and fitness, but believe it or not, 40,000. This is USA Today as of a couple of months ago. I think they've actually double counted some of those apps, however. And so, because you may have the same app listed as health and fitness as in the medical side, and a very close variation of the theme in Google Play for Android and the iOS Apple Store. However, it's a big number for something that didn't exist a few years ago. Seriously. But can these apps really help us to improve our health? And we're, in my opinion, just a baby steps. And that's a fun place to be. Lots of opportunity. So seriously, when you look at youth, you know, here we are in San Francisco, just steps away from, you know, where this technology often gets launched, right at the convention center here. Any idea how many cell phones are on this planet?
80%
of the population uses cell phones. Some of the 80%, and there's some different U.S. statistics.
5,600.
Ooh, good. Guesses. Well, what I thought was interesting is I looked at the population, the number of human souls on this planet, and the growth in cell phones, and the lines cross within the next few months. So we'll have more cell phones than people. Can you imagine? But to me, okay, they're out there. Let's use them. But then certainly some of these apps do require more than text messaging and some of the basic phones. So next question, what about smartphones? Any idea how many of those are out there? Probably asked the question in this room, and we know, you know, somewhere around half. Over a billion, with a B. Again, for a technology that's very young. And I guess I'm even dating myself when I've actually met Marty Cooper, who created the cell phone, and, you know, he's a real person, and, you know, that's, you realize how young this is and how profound the impact has been, and certainly what it would be the next potential barrier, somewhat that Tali mentioned as well, do you have connectivity, to use all of these apps in the cloud? And I thought, my heavens, 75% growth in just the past few years. And in terms of, or the 78% and looking at global growth. So basically, what this says is that the prices have come down, and there's more people have more access. And looking at that, you know, growth rate is again significant. So, and it, what that means is I always think you get to that tipping point, and that's always been a fun part of my career, when you can just feel the energy, that knowing that the technology is there, it's working. You know, there's enough connectivity, and if you just look at App Store downloads, you're seeing exponential curves. The curve on the right there is downloads, you know, over in terms of from the App Store. Again, realizing that this all didn't really exist a few years ago. So how do you pick the winner out of the 40,000, right? Or what really is even worth your time? Even if they're free, it takes time to download it and check it out. And you know, so what do we do? And so I developed kind of a simple, you know, to just beginning with the word S, four words, in terms of, you know, go to the source, consider search, then go to the store, and then look at social. So what that means is that, you know, many of you are public health professionals. You know the credible sources. That have published in other media, whether it be on the web or in other areas. And so certainly to go to the source that you already know, just simply in a mobile environment, is one way to go about it. And then certainly you can go directly to the search engines, Google and others. Some of you may not know that there's actually a government search engine in terms of the apps.usa.gov. Phenomenal numbers of apps just in the past year that have been published that I'll talk about. Then when you go to the store, how many of you have bought apps or downloaded apps? Okay, so most of you. So most of you at least have kind of gotten a start, and you know that similar to going to buy a book on Amazon, you can see, okay, so what are some of the equivalent of the New York Times bestseller lists, the most downloaded in a particular category. So that's certainly one way, looking at the ratings and you know, looking at what's free versus what has a cost associated with it. And then just coming here and using your other social networks to learn about what people are doing with apps. So I think those are really the four ways. And when it comes to healthcare, I'm looking at different categories of value. And so one is simply the publications that are out there. But you look at that for community health, you know, to have those libraries of the planet, you know, accessible and on your phone. And so I'll talk about several different reference-related apps. Then there are those for your own personal health. So certainly the health and fitness, but a tremendous growth in what I consider the health screening category, which has certainly tremendous value in community health, not only for taking advantage of that for ourselves and our families, but certainly also sharing the opportunities of what's available. Then making connections. You know, certainly as the storm is about ready to hit the East Coast, and you know, I was thinking what apps can help in this regard, and you know, one just certainly having access to personal health information. More and more people have been downloading the various apps that are connected to their healthcare provider for viewing your own electronic health records, and so certainly the electronic health records apps that are accessible and using the phone to connect with your provider. And certainly then presentations. You know, academically, I think being able to go out in community health and to use, I mean, one example is at, you know, back on campus, I'll just take my iPad and mirroring and I can walk around. So instead of being married to this podium, I would be walking around the audience. And what I have on my device is presented on the screen. But certainly community health workers are often doing educational presentations where there isn't a formal setup, and so there are opportunities and apps there. And then lastly, certainly using the device for communication, both video conferencing as well as other apps. So starting briefly with the library, you know, what a shift. Think about it. We used to have to go a long distance to get to the library, and we've come a long ways, and to the libraries coming to us. So certainly I'm going to briefly touch on a few of the apps. Have many of you heard of Epocrates, for example? So some of you are more public health versus necessarily physicians. It sounds like you're primarily a public health audience. Any physicians in the audience?
I work more
on the healthcare delivery side? Okay. So the physicians certainly are familiar with that, but many of these have free versions as well. So others may have been more familiar perhaps on the consumer side, Medscape, WebMD. So those things that you think that you need a website, you know, and to be connected to a desk to use. Just oftentimes people just don't think that they're there on your phone. So part of that is and so many of you are, you know, health promotion and educators, to really just try to help people to think about the fact that all of this is there. So what is in your pocket is certainly the medical libraries of the world, the ask any information that you would want on medical conditions, on medications, going beyond just a Google search to some of these more current and credible. An example, the National Library of Medicine applications, and there's an app for that as well. So certainly, again, the sources you know, rather robust, CDC on the iPad. Certainly, figured here we are at APHA, I better throw that one in, right? as well, in terms of access to that. But those are strictly reference applications. They're not necessarily fully taking advantage of other opportunities, such as GPS locators, such as the app HealthMap does. And is anyone familiar with HealthMap? Been using that? I ran it just this morning, and I found out that if anyone is going to Treasure Island, that there's a boiled water alert, for example, that's there right now. So I don't know if anyone's staying out there, but you could check HealthMap, and you get alerts of outbreaks that are near you. So that's something that's really going beyond just a library to saying, hey, this is a phone, this is where I'm at. It's using the power of the phone a little bit more. So there's not just the one-way communication of looking for information, but here's just one sample of health workers in Africa that are using the phone to not only help with disease outbreaks, but simple things like supplies. So in areas where previously it was, you know, just a lot of phone calls and chaos, just to simply use the phone for connection. I'd mentioned before the ability to do health education and teaching opportunities. So all you really need is a phone, and there may be some television screen or something else around that, just that ability to do kind of that ad hoc presentation. Doctors are being told to prescribe applications. So this is an example in the UK, where you really look at these apps as part of your treatment plan. And that's not even in the consciousness of many physicians that I speak with, or nurse practitioners. It's like, oh, instead of ordering a med, I'm going to order an app. But it started. I think there's initial growth there of, and you'll see when I get more into the clinical side of it, the reasons why. So certainly, starting from birth, many of you have heard about Text for Baby, I imagine, and some other areas. Out of UCSD in San Diego, they actually did some research on that. That is starting to show outcomes, where many of these apps don't yet have that outcome piece, because the research is so young. But this is an example that's starting to be done. That actually, yes, that, I mean, it is improving the knowledge, and it is improving adherence to appointments and, you know, and that's where we're just getting started. But more than simply, and that text for baby. You can start using the device as a computer connected. And so here you can actually listen to the baby's heart rate based on an application, which probably, I'm guessing, many of you hadn't heard about. So again, going to the source, I mean, back when I had my daughter, it was, you know, some of you may know what to expect when you're expecting. So certainly there are a number of different apps related to the any field that you're in. But the message, again, to go back to the source that you know. So here's an example. I pulled up A March of Dimes because, you know the source. But it doesn't come up on the bestsellers list right away, you know. And it's pretty hidden in when something comes out in that new publication because there's so many apps coming out. So it's very easy to miss some of these that may be good. So some of you may know the Hesperian guides, and for those of you who may work in the maternal health area. So, as I mentioned, the search for additional slides, but I wanted to touch briefly on health screening. So I thought a simple way to do that would be kind of to go head to toe. Eyes, healthy vision. Now, so just in case you don't happen to have that classic chart, can anybody see? No. do a quick exam, but you can also kind of click a button and it changes the letters. So no cheating on the charts. And so there's anything from rather consumer-based screening to really much more professional level screening for vision. How about hearing? You can actually get a rather comprehensive hearing screening. So if you find people are blaring the music in the earbuds a little bit too loud, right, and realize that the phone can actually be used to help hearing. And this is an example showing, this is a senior that has that high pitch loss, which is quite common. And then on the prevention side, there's actually a very fun application where you can play any of your favorite songs and the music will simulate as if you are a senior. So this is very fun for teenagers who are actually blaring them cell phones too hard in their ears, and they start listening to their own music as if they're 65 without the high pitch and kind of a motivator. So what about the mind and a good night's sleep? Hopefully everyone had a good night's sleep last night and adjusted to the time zones, right? But if not, then there's an app for that. So there's actually range from, if you're not close enough to your cell phone already, but there's when we actually sleep with it, the accelerometer measures and in terms of the levels of deep versus whether or not you're dreaming well or not here in San Francisco.
What's the name of that?
There's a good night's sleep. I can share several. And one is Sleep Cycle. I think it's like a 99 center. I'm an equal opportunity app enthusiast. I'm not selling or no disclosures on any. This one I actually have used myself. It connects with the alarm clock. It's a little bit more expensive, but it just simply enables you, just by the way Tali was saying, is instead of you go for a sleep study, it's a one shot. It's a snapshot. Whereas this enables you to monitor your own health more like a movie camera. And I did, just an example of an analysis of, did that next second cup of coffee in the afternoon really have an impact on sleep? And I found for me personally it was dramatic. Absolutely dramatic. So I could do my own analysis of what impacted my sleep. And you get a score on how well you're sleeping and track it over time. Also, in terms of the neurological side of it, this is certainly one of the big things that is done is games, so on phones, right? But what could be a health impact? And I think there are many potential areas where games can have an impact. One is an example app that before you get into an automobile and drive after you've been drinking, can you actually pass the motor and reaction tests? So I thought that there's opportunity, you know, certainly in health education. Certainly many of our teens and drivers are playing games anyways, but you know, culturally, if it's like, hey, can you do what you can normally do? You know, can you actually, and then maybe a peer could say, hey, maybe it's not a good idea to get behind the wheel. What about a healthy heart? I guess before getting up and speaking, does anyone ever get a little bit nervous? Mm-hmm. Many of you speaking here as well? Besides dropping the phone, you can actually test your heart rate. Has anyone done that? Anybody? One out of the group. Well, being a professional RN, and you know, just simply, have you ever felt, you know, carotid, and you're not really sure if you counted right? Even just taking your own heart. Well, this does almost like a pulse oximetry, just putting your finger, and counts the heart rate, and tracks it over time. Mentioned as well blood pressure. And Natalia talked about needing to connect that peak flow with the actual device. Here's an example where the devices are starting to connect in. So you can track trends as well as get beyond what the device does. Okay. So this one's new, pending FDA approval. As many of you know, the FDA is certainly very involved in anything with connectivity. But there have been some early research on the efficacy of some of this. An example, there was a senior who wasn't sure whether it was a heart attack or not and was able to see very clearly from the EKG that it was not. There was one case where there was a cardiac event on an airplane, and one of the research docs was able to do on the site easy quick EKG to help determine whether or not the plane should come down or not. Several of you, and we'll hear certainly the asthma perspectives. I mean, you may be checking the weather when you're here in San Francisco. I don't know if you all were aware that you can check for pollens and other areas as well. I think just in general that interactivity is a whole category. So it goes beyond just, here it is, it's just a new way to read a book, to I'm interacting with people that are helping you to achieve your various health goals. I think some of the leaders in this field are in examples are in stop smoking. So these are a few example screens. Again, like the blood pressure cup and that the adapter to the smartphone to be able to track glucose measurement over time for diabetics. And so in addition to kind of combining that social side of connecting with other diabetics using the applications. But I want to stop with certainly connecting with people is, I think, ultimately, the app that gets people using the device. And that once, particularly seniors, have access to the device. An example, this happens to be my dad, who used this because it was simple enough to use. And so the way that I got him started on using various apps as a senior was simply one word, granddaughter. Okay? He could connect with his granddaughter through video conferencing. And then when Dad had an episode where he had fallen, it actually avoided a hospital admission entirely because I was able to see the color in his face. I could watch him take his meds. I could know he was okay. But if we hadn't used that with the granddaughter connection first, so that he was comfortable with the technology, there's no way in the world that once he was sick that we ever would have gotten that working. So I think once that device is in the senior's hands, then you can try the others. But that was one example of one study that worked for me personally. So this is just kind of a general graph of an example that many of the apps from a percentage perspective are more in that health and fitness side than necessarily on the medical side, and this gives you some of the percentages. So in summary, it's a journey. We're just really getting started. I think we can hopefully provide some value to you here by kind of reflecting on what we have today in the rearview mirror, but there's so much more looking out the windshield and out front. And just plant a message after our next speaker that one of the questions that I'll be asking, I'll give you a sneak preview, is really what are some of your favorite apps so that we can really encourage kind of those discussions as well.